We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Decision day for the Fed. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. The people in charge of interest rates in the U.S. are getting ready to wrap up 2 days of meetings this afternoon. We're talking about the Federal Reserve. One part of how the Fed manages the economy is by managing expectations. So for more on what markets are expecting, Susan Schmidt joins us. She is head of public equity at the State of Wisconsin Investment Board. Susan, good morning.
Good morning.
So markets scrutinize and price in every last bit of what the Fed says, does, publishes. What do markets think the Fed is going to say and do?
The Fed wraps up their meeting today, and Chairman Powell will speak after the meeting. Investors are anticipating that he won't be changing interest rates after this meeting. Now, they also anticipate that he's going to continue with cautious language, implying that there might be a further interest rate down the line.
When the Fed raises rates, historically, it takes a while, even a year or two, for that punch on the economy to land. Is there any indication in markets that everything the Fed has already done could weigh further on the economy than we might think?
You always have to assume that. And that's one of the difficulties for the Fed in trying to gauge where they need to put interest rates to get the proper amount of slowdown in the economy and get inflation under control.
Housing starts, that's construction on new homes, fell more than 11% in July, lowest level in 3 years. Does that factor into the Fed's thinking?
Housing starts are falling, and that's an indication of how home builders look at the future market. We are seeing the Fed's actions here, and this is an example of that trickle-through impact that will affect for many months to come.
Susan Schmidt is head of public equity at the State of Wisconsin Investment Board. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Federal Reserve wraps up a two-day meeting later today. The main news out of that will be whether the Fed decides to raise interest rates even higher or not. Most economists are expecting they will not. Instead, they're focused on the future, specifically the Fed's summary of economic projections, which will also be released today. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains what that is and why it's particularly important.
If you want to know what Fed officials think about the future, you've got to grapple with some initials. There's the FOMC, the Federal Open Market Committee, that sets interest rates. Four times a year, it issues its SEP, the Summary of Economic Projections.
I think the Summary of Economic Projections is the main event.
Aditya Bhave is senior U.S. economist at BofA Global Research. He says the Summary of Economic Projections lists what each member of the FOMC expects for the next few years on economic growth, the unemployment rate, inflation, and interest rates. That provides clues for the future. If, say, FOMC members think economic growth won't be so great, they'll want to stimulate the economy by lowering interest rates.
And that generally leads to more borrowing activity, which leads to more investment, and so more economic activity, more hiring.
The Summary of Economic Projections is anonymous, so you don't know who's thinking what. But Gregory Dacko, chief economist at the consulting firm EY, says it's still a useful interest rate predictor.
And that provides some forward guidance as to where monetary policy will be over the next year and next couple of years.
And today, for the first time, we'll get a look at the FOMC members' predictions for 2026. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Disney plans to spend $60 billion over the next 10 years on theme parks and its cruise line, doubling its investment over the last decade. Disney CEO Bob Iger has called parks a key growth engine. Disney stock is up 0.1%.
now, one generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
This week, we are taking a look at tipping. Norms around tipping have been changing the past few years, starting early in the pandemic. How much to tip, when to tip, there are new situations in which to tip, like food delivery. And when norms change, what really is happening is that our collective understanding of what the right thing to do in a situation is changing, which can be frustrating because A, our conception of what's right is a hard thing to change, and B, when expectations are shifting, you don't know where you stand. So today, we have some help navigating the shifting expectations around tipping. Daniel Post-Senning joins us. He's author and spokesman with the Emily Post Institute. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me.
The subject of tipping seems to stir up some strong emotions, resentment even, for people. Why do you think that is?
It sure does. And I would really hope that by the time we've talked about it a little bit, we can help people find a way to feel the gratitude that's really meant to be at the heart of gratuity. But there is no denying that there is some confusion out there and people are feeling some pressure around tipping. And I think that pressure can really result in that feeling of resentment that you're talking about.
Why don't we start with restaurant service? What is the standard range for a tip?
We say at the Emily Post Institute that 15 to 20% is what you should be expecting to tip when you walk into a restaurant and sit down for table service. And the reason for this is that those wait staff, that service staff, is not protected by the same minimum wage laws that other workers are protected by.
Is it ever okay to not tip?
In general, if you're ever thinking about not tipping when you've sat down for table service, you've usually invested enough time and you've participated in that experience enough that it's really part of your responsibility to be sure that you're talking to someone about it and the reasons why you wouldn't be tipping. And my guess is that under most circumstances, the restaurant's going to be responding by wanting to take care of you in some way, maybe not charge you for the meal or maybe even provide you with a free meal at some point. Most restaurants are that interested in providing good service.
What about takeout? Do you actually need to tip when there is no waiter?
It's up to you. And during the pandemic, a lot of people got used to tipping as much as they could or even a standard 10%, even if that was difficult for them to do because that was one of the ways restaurants could afford to stay open and stay functioning. Now that that social distancing environment is not so restrictive, some restaurants have held on to that 10%. Some customers or patrons have held on to that habit of tipping 10%.
Here's one that I think is confusing for some people, food delivery. I've heard a million different things. I've heard, you know, you're already paying for the delivery with a fee, so you don't need to tip. I've heard the delivery company takes a lot of the fee, so you should tip. What about delivery?
It is true. It can get complicated. And for exactly that reason, I always suggest that people feel comfortable asking if there's any confusion about the way a bill has been divvied up or presented. In general, the delivery charge is different than the gratuity. Believe it or not, it's something that accounts for the cost of the delivery, whereas the gratuity is really something that's a little extra for the person that's actually providing the service.
Daniel Post-Senning is with the Emily Post Institute. He's written several books on etiquette and hosts a weekly podcast on the subject. You can hear more of our tipping series at marketplace.org. Daniel, thank you so much.
You're most welcome. It was a pleasure to be with you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.